It's a huge night for Taylor Swift fans as her new album, Life of a Showgirl, drops tonight at midnight. You can hear the entire album right at midnight across the hall. Our co-workers at Z99 will launch the new Taylor Swift album at midnight tonight. You can hear it. And of course, theaters are going to be packed this weekend too, because tomorrow and through Sunday, she is a marketing queen. Boy, a 90-minute movie called Release Party of a Showgirl. I was checking on some of the theater sites here this morning. Some of them are near sellouts. And in this movie, I guess she's going to, you know, share the world premiere of her new music video along with behind-the-scenes footage and reflect on the album. So she knows what she's doing. It's going to be a huge, huge album drop tonight at midnight. And probably not going to go to that movie, but there's a few I'd like to see. Like this One Battle After Another I'm curious about with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Me and Mom used to run around and do some real bad shit. They got hurt. Now they're coming after us. Sorry.
I didn't ask for this.
After more than something like 300 critical reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 96% fresh. Every critic is saying big things about this. Fans also weighing in on the same site. I saw one said, this is officially my second favorite movie of the year behind F1, which I haven't seen either. They said, great cast, great acting. Lots of other great comments, too. There's only one shared complaint. It's too long. Resident movie critic Brett Buster saw it. Is it too long?
Yeah. What's funny?
Like it's almost, what, 3 hours?
Well, that's funny is that it's listed as 240, but I went online and looked at the actual film because I missed the first 10 seconds of the movie. It's actually only 2.5 hours, but for some reason, just the pacing of the movie makes it feel like three. I never usually check my phone to see like how much is left, but I did at one point, and I was stunned that there was still an hour left of this movie.
So if they had taken the scissors to it, edited it a little tighter, could this have been a great movie in your eyes?
I still think it is a good movie. I'm just not bowing down to it. Like, I'm shocked at all the 10 out of 10. This is a masterpiece. This is the film of the year praise. Like, I'm just not there. I think it's really fun. It's a interesting movie. But I got to say, I wasn't interested in seeing it at all from the trailers. I thought the trailers did a horrible job conveying what the movie even was. Then we saw it, of course, after the universal praise, and I did have a good time. Like, Leo's great. Sean Penn is almost a shoe-in for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar. He was probably my favorite part of the movie. But it's just a very messy clunk all over the place.
He's a former activist with his wife or something, and then
fate is
catching up.
He's a former revolutionary, and then he has to kind of spring back into action when his former enemy, which is like a psychotic colonel played by Sean Penn, starts hunting him and his daughter down. So it's a very timely political movie with what's going on in the U.S. right now with like rounding
up
immigrants. I thought it was like, I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. It's fun. I don't think it's going to be for everybody. I mean,
okay, well,
it's doing okay.
You know what it is? What your problem is right now, Brett, is that it's October and you love scary movies. You're all over the scary movies. And Frankenstein, a new Frankenstein trailer dropped yesterday.
And I saw it. Frankenstein.
Okay, wait a minute. I thought it was...
That's Frankenstein.
Yeah, man. I mean, Guillermo del Toro usually doesn't miss. This is right up his alley. It's going to be out in November on Netflix, so of course I'm ready for
it. It's going to hit theaters, I guess. Limited run October 17th.
Terrific.
So that it could be eligible for awards. I watched this trailer yesterday, I thought it does look very cool. And I'm ready for a new take on Frankenstein.
Absolutely.
For sure. Okay, Peacemaker.
Yes.
Are you watching this season two?
I haven't started season two yet, but it's high on my next
It's on Crave.
List. Yeah.
I'm hearing everyone talk that who loves Peacemaker, this season is better than the first.
Oh, okay. I mean, I like the first season, so I'm in. I mean, there's another superhero show I'm behind on too, which is the Gen V, the spinoff of The Boys. There's just too much TV right now.
Yeah, I'm watching that one too, as a matter of fact. And of course, Landman just announced their season two drops November 16th on Paramount Plus.
I run the company. She owns it. But if you want to fight about it, lawyer up, big boy, let's go.
Why don't you let me sell this thing?
I want success.
I can't wait.
Get it for me.
I can't wait. Billy Bob Thornton's character alongside of Demi Moore there. Her character, she's the wife of her late husband that was lost at the end of season one, played by John Hamm.
Spoiler.
This series, well, if you watch the trailer, it's pretty much, it shows you that too. But it's so phenomenal, season one. And you, I told you, you got to put this on your list. You of all people, and you haven't yet.
I have so much TV. I just finished Alien Earth. I'm watching Marvel Zombies. There's too many shows, bro.
Let's take it back one more moment here. Do you think this Jeremy Allen White as Bruce Springsteen is going to get a lot of Oscar talk? Is that movie coming out about Springsteen in a few weeks from now? Looks like it's all the rage.
I mean, these music biopics usually do very well. It seems like we're getting one every year around Oscar time. I mean, I really like Jeremy Allen White. It could happen, but I mean, he's got to contend with Leo and a few other people from this year. Who knows? But it'll probably get at least a Best Picture nomination.
Apparently, he doesn't know how to play guitar, so he just kind of moves his hand around the guitar.
But he sings.
And listen to him. He sounds like Springsteen. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, by the looks of it, it's going to be a big movie. Speaking of which, this guy, Jeremy, do you watch The Bear?
Absolutely, love The Bear.
Is it over with now? How many seasons are there?
They dropped season four earlier this summer, and I feel like they're doing one more, especially with where it ended. There's got to be one more to wrap it up. But I love The Bear, one of my favorite shows on TV. Right.
Born to be Alive and Survive. I was watching season 49 of Survivor last night. I'm keeping my eye on Regina's Jake Latimer, who is quite the beast in the challenges. He's very athletic, and again, he got a lot of FaceTime like he did in episode one. Last night, he was a big chunk of it, too. He lost the challenge with his team, but not because of him. He carried the team on his back, practically. It was his teammates to let him down, but I want to just play this little portion at the end of every episode of Survivor. They offer a preview of next week's show, and it doesn't always turn out the way you think, but it does not look good for Jake. It shows him sitting in the ocean when a snake comes by.
Big snake just latched on me.
So scary.
This is a highly venomous snake. I'm worried about his life at this point.
We've seen other survivors get carried out because of injuries. I hope Jake's going to be okay. I'll be watching next week again, for sure. Hey, CJMA writer, reporter Britton Gray was on earlier with me, and we were talking about the fact that big news going into Ottawa tomorrow night is we have a new kicker, Brett Lawther. He's resting, and Britton explains, what is it, the back or something, right?
Yeah, he's dealing with a back injury, and that's led him to being out this week, which means we are going to see Campbell Fair. And now the interesting thing is going to be what happens after this week. Yes, Campbell Fair makes a CFL debut. If he goes 4-for-4 with a 50-plus yarder, do you take him out next week? Do you put Brett Lawther back in? That's the interesting thing that this coaching staff will have to do if Campbell Fair does indeed go out and have a good game right now, because Brett Lawther has not been up to standard this season. He will tell you that. The coaching staff will tell you that. So an interesting possible few weeks here.
You make a good point. 4-for-4, and if at least a couple or 50 yards out, and he makes them all, that says a heck of a lot. If he goes, maybe 2-for-4, we're right back where we started. I think that's the litmus test. He's got to go and get every one of those, and some of them got to be from a lengthy process.
Exactly. Right now with Campbell Fair, plus we don't know what he does when it's clutch kick time, right? Brett Lawther for years has been one of the clutchest kickers in the CFL under 3 minutes. So at least you know that, and you know what Brett Lawther has done in the past. Yes, he struggled, but it's one of those, would you rather go with the complete unknown or at least the thing that you do know that's just a little bit off this year? So that's why I think if Campbell Fair were to go out and struggle, I think this team would have no issue going back to Brett Lawther, because he's been around so long and it's who this team feels comfortable having out there.
And why not? I love Brett Lawther. It pains me if I sound like I'm talking smack about him. It's not meant to be smack. It literally is what's best for the team. And you're right. If Campbell goes out, has a great game, and then stumbles down the road, I'd have no problem looking towards the bench and saying, okay, Brett Lawther, you're returning. I think that would be a good mix. So it is the litmus test is about to happen here. And he's had a big kick there, hasn't he? He played for the GGs. Didn't he have a huge kick there at one point in Ottawa?
He did a game winner. I think it was 55 yards out. He has a leg to him. Campbell Fair can absolutely kick some long field goals. But at U Sports level, what happens when the pressure's on at the pros, right? What happens when 10 seconds left and you have to hit a 52-yarder for the win? He hasn't done that yet. This is going to be his first CFL game. So There are more unknowns with Campbell Fair, despite the fact Brett Lauther struggled this year. But at the same time, it feels like a move has to be made if Campbell Fair goes out and kicks the heck out of that ball.
So come on and raise your beer stein at the German Club this weekend. They're at 1727 St. John. And my next guest is a huge, huge part of making sure that Oktoberfest at the German Club is a huge hit. She's Carrie Van Leusen, getting ready for Friday and Saturday. Carrie, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Carrie, what is the lore, the legend of Oktoberfest? Why is it such a big celebration?
Oh, it's centuries old already. It was based on a wedding, and then obviously these people have long passed, so they've turned it into more of a harvest, reason to celebrate harvest, and it's so much fun. It's a party. It's a great celebration, and the traditions just keep on growing.
So how will the traditions grow this weekend at the German Club?
Well, we're going to start off with Friday. It was Auftakt. It's our kickoff meal. That is sold out. It always sells out in advance. However, following that is the Ms. and Mr. Oktoberfest contest starting at 9 p.m. Anybody can come down to compete. It's just a fun, amazing time. We have people elbowing each other to get in on this. And if you do win and get crowned the Ms. or the Mr., you get to be our VIP leading into Saturday's main event.
So Saturday, then, explain how that day will unfold.
Well, we start off at 2 p.m. with our Kinderfest. It's our family portion. It's free to attend. We'll have a petting zoo there. In Germany, things are more like a carnival, so there will be rides and such like that. Obviously, we can't do that, but we do have activities. There's balloon making and face painting and crafts and performances and obviously food and treats. Our coffee stubas downstairs with a bunch of homemade torten. It's a fun time. And then by about 5:30, we slowly start to shut it down and transition into the evening portion, which is the big main event. We open the doors for that at 6 p.m. This year we have changed it. It is rush seating only, so there was no advance ticket aside from our sponsorship tables that were sold. First come, first serve. Try to get there for 6, and then we do our cake tapping ceremony with the Grand Marchen, with our delegates and such at 7, and then the rest of the night is party with live music with Cornerstone Band. We have our Volus Lederpacket Schuplattlerin perform. We have a yodeler in from Manitoba. There's obviously food. Some different evening menus come out. We're bringing back the Holzpaddel, which is the flights of sampling beer. Most of our beer is authentic German imported beer. Yeah, it's just a great time. And
yeah, it doesn't sound like there's much going on Saturday.
Not at all.
Carrie Van Leusen from the German Club. Now, what's the ultimate Oktoberfest survival tip on that Saturday night, besides drinking water between beer steins?
Yeah. Drink water, but also dance. Get up and dance. Burn it off. Be prepared to get to know your neighbor at the table beside you, because it's crammed in and it's all about communicate, like friendly fellowship. You just want to meet people cheering, get up and boogie.
So what's the most outrageous thing you've seen at the German Club worn at Oktoberfest?
Like, we do have people come as authentic as they can, but in the case that they can't get themselves a Lederhosen outfit or a dirndl, I have seen them go to the Halloween shop. The ladies, anyways, get quite creative with some of the costumes there that come out. Like, honestly, people just have a good time. They make up their own kind of outfits, and it's cute to see. We're not offended. We love that they're trying. Yeah, so you have to come and check it out.
So Friday evening, and then Saturday, the kids stuff, family stuff through the afternoon. And then it's all adults on Saturday night. At what time?
You want to get there by 6. The doors open at 6, and the program starts at 7. So you have an hour to get there, get your spot. We encourage you to, you know, fight for your table and claim it, because they go quick. Last year we had, it was just a crazy amount of people. And if you don't get in the main hall, there's always the downstairs, also the patio outside, weather permitting, of course. And then we'll kind of cycle people through as best we can throughout the night as people come and go.
Carrie Van Leusen from the German Club, Oktoberfest this weekend. Before I let you go, a quick mini lesson. German words or phrases we need to learn before coming. Go.
All right. You want to say "Ein Prosit," which is like cheers to you, and "Zum Wohl," and then that's another one to be to your health. And then "Ich möchte einen Schnitzel bitte." That would be "I would like a schnitzel, please." Or even they say "Ich mag dich," which is I like you. We don't usually say "I love you" in German to strangers. If you're buying somebody one of our gingerbread heart cookies, it would be like "Ich mag dich," like it's "I like you," because you don't want to, you know, get too personal if you're buying someone a cookie that you don't maybe know necessarily. I think that's good. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've given us a great lesson, and I know it's going to be a great time. So can't wait for Oktoberfest this weekend. Carrie, thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Just a bright, sunny start to the day. Lots of blue sky. It's going to be a good one. And as you heard there, 9 degrees by Sunday. This province is crazy with the weather, isn't it? As the harvest rolls on, taking advantage of this hot, dry weather. We've been in the 30s earlier this week and now 9 by the weekend on Sunday. But don't fret. We will rebound. I see next week it's not going to be that miserable either. So, but it's fall, right? October weather gets a little cooler. Learning a little more about a rideshare driver who was assaulted here in Regina. Flagged down police early Tuesday morning. Apparently he was assaulted by three men and threatened with what he thought looked like a machete in the car before kicking them out. And two men were spotted running on the street with a shotgun. A third was seen walking down the street with a sawed-off rifle. And the officers were able to link one of the men with the weapon to the suspect who assaulted the rideshare driver. So three men are facing charges now. This is crazy. It's crazy stateside right now where they pretty much shut down the whole White House. The talks are at a standstill. The Democrats are holding out to restore health care cuts. The Republicans say fund the government first and then we'll talk. Both sides blame one another. In the meantime, tourist attractions, museums are closed. And the shutdown may affect travel, even for us Canadians, because TSA agents and air traffic controllers are all forced to work without pay. So in the last shutdown, a lot of those workers just thought, okay, I'm not getting paid. I'm sick. And they called in and there were delays in the airline industry because there just wasn't enough staff the last time this one happened for well over a month. Meanwhile, the president mocking Democratic leaders on his Truth Social account in an AI-generated meme, he showed Hakeem Jeffries, who is the Democratic House Minority Leader in the meme with a sombrero and mustache with Jeffries called racist, or pardon me, Jeffries called that racist and bigoted and stereotyped, and they're fighting back and forth, but the vice president had no problem with it.
Oh, I think it's funny. The president's joking and we're having a good time. You can negotiate in good faith while also poking a little bit of fun at some of the absurdities of the Democrats' positions and even, you know, poking some fun at the absurdity of the Democrats themselves. I mean, I'll tell Hakeem Jeffries right now, I make this solemn promise to you that if you help us reopen the government, the sombrero memes will stop. And I've talked to the president of the United States about that.
Sombreros, memes, I'll stop if you give us what we want. It sounds like a bunch of frat boys are running the country right now. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? One of the world's most famous beloved guardians of nature, Jane Goodall, has died at the age of 91. She, of course, gaining worldwide fame from decades of research of chimpanzees in the wild. Through her studies of the species, she proved that primates displayed behaviors similar to humans, such as communication, individual personalities, and the use of tools. And in addition to her work, she was known for her tireless efforts in the protection and restoration of our natural environments. And here she is. This is a couple of years ago. She visited The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, reflecting on her legacy and hope for the world. I thought this was something that would be nice to listen back to as we lost Jane Goodall, 91 years old yesterday.
You know, when I'm gone, I want to make absolutely sure that everything I've worked for all my life will be able to carry on.
Oh, my goodness.
Even when I'm gone.
I read somewhere that you're on the road 300 days out of the year. Is that?
Yes, even more now because, you know, when you get closer to the end, wherever the end is, there's so much wrong with the world today. And there's so much need for a message of hope because if we all lose hope, then we may as well give up. And we know the world's in a mess. Yeah. We know we've harmed the environment. We know destroying the forest, polluting the atmosphere, polluting the ocean. And, you know, we must take action now.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And let's do it now. What are we waiting for?
I mean, all our young people in our youth program, Roots and Shoots, they have a message, together we can, together we will.
Yes.
There you go. Jane was just in Canada. About a week ago, actually, all these, at 91, she passes away, but right up into her death, she was busy touring the globe, sharing her inspirational stories. CJME News Time now is 826.